today is this: success is not measured by the number of conversions, but by completing the what? Alright, so let's read this statement together today. Because again, this is what you're going to take home with you today. This is the main point of everything that we're looking at. Everything we say and do, all the message will kind of center around this aspect. But it's important. You know, it's not for us to just have, okay, well, that's a nice little thought. It's not a thought on the wall. It's something to internalize, to know, to understand. And so let's read this life application together. Success is not measured by the number of conversions, but by completing the mission. And so when we look at this, we understand that if we're not careful, we will measure success, especially in a ministry or a church, by a false measurement. And a false measurement could be simply the amount of conversions that a person has. How many baptisms have we had last year? How many people have we had to profess it? Make a profession of faith. You know, those are things that sometimes churches begin to measure their self by. And it can be a very misleading measurement. And there's lots of reasons for that. And so we've been looking at Isaiah, and we saw that God is going to call, or does call, Isaiah to a specific ministry. He wants him to take a message to Israel. If you remember the setting, Israel is here, and this nation is turned away from God, and God is going to call this nation back to himself through Isaiah and other prophets as well. But we're looking specifically at Isaiah today. And Isaiah sees a vision of God, and he sees the holiness of God. It even says in that, he says, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." And so he says, basically, I've seen God, and I'm a sinner, and so I'm doomed for it. But then we see one of the seraphims take a coal off the altar, and he touches Isaiah's lips, and he says, you are cleansed. This has cleansed you. And having been cleansed, meaning now he can stand in the presence of God, Isaiah hears God with this statement: "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds the only right way. He says, "Here am I, send me." Again, it's not a reluctant thing. You know, I have to kind of prompt y'all a little bit. We're getting ready to ask you to volunteer to do something. Getting ready to ask you to respond to something. We have to kind of push you along a little bit and get you to speak up, to do something. And that's not the image that we see here with Isaiah. When Isaiah hears this, he feels, he sees this God, and he gets this invitation to serve this God, and he recognizes this God's calling for someone to step up and to fulfill a role. And Isaiah doesn't just sit back and look around and say, "Well, sure hope someone else will speak up in a minute, or this is getting awkward." No, Isaiah immediately, he is there and he's saying, "Me, it's me, God. I want to be a part of that. If you're needing someone to send me." And so this is Isaiah's setting for this. Now let's read these verses as we kind of come through here. He says in verse number 1 again, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Let's read this last part together. Then said I, Here am I, send me. You see this kind of, in our mind, this kind of comes to a place that, like a climax in it, right? It's like you see this moment where Isaiah steps up and God has called for someone to go to the people. And Isaiah says, Here am I, send me. We've been talking for the last several weeks about how that's been us. You know, 20 years ago, we said, Here we are, God, send us. Send us into this community. Send us unto these people that we won't meet for several years, add people to us and let us see that. And we've kind of accepted that. We see this with Isaiah, if we're not careful, because a lot of preaching along this text stops at this point. And that's okay, because it emphasizes a particular aspect. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to do that. But anytime we're studying the Bible, we can never stop where the Bible doesn't stop, right? We have to at least carry on at some point and look beyond that. And just in our own mind right here, we see this. We see Isaiah's call. We see Isaiah's response. And don't answer this one out loud. Y'all have permission to not answer out loud on this one. But just think for a moment, what's in your mind right now? This Isaiah is about to launch into this ministry that God's called him into. It's a glorious moment. But just think today, if we was to have someone in our church, and they would say, you know what, I feel that God has called me into a particular ministry, and I'm surrendering to that ministry. We would celebrate that today, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd really be excited. And then we would watch them as they develop, and what would we have? We'd have really, really, really high expectations for that ministry, wouldn't we? Whether that was a foreign mission field or whether it was doing something locally, we would be excited knowing that someone has surrendered. And then we would think this way, because it happens a lot of times, because they have an obedient heart and because they're willing to follow God into this ministry, God is going to bless that ministry. As long as they stay humble, as long as they stay willing, as long as they stay faithful, God is going to bless that ministry. And that is a true statement. As long as you don't have the wrong idea of what it means for God to bless that ministry. So let's look at what God says next to Isaiah. Are you ready? I think I have your interest enough right now to follow this next point up. And he said, who is he? God. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but what?
Understand
not. See ye indeed, but?
See ye not.
He tells Isaiah to go make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their what?
Eyes.
Lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and do what?
Heard.
And be. I think Isaiah's a little perplexed right now. God's just asked who will go, and who will call these people back, who will go as our representative, and Isaiah has stood up and he said, God, here I am, send me. And we would all think that this is going to be the moment that God says, Isaiah, you will go and you will be productive. God, Isaiah, you will go and you will see thousands upon thousands of people who's going to be converted and changed. You're going to call this nation back to God. But God says, Isaiah, I want you to go and I want you to share this message that I'm sending to you, and here's what I want you to understand. Rather than being converted, their heart is going to become harder. And almost the more they hear you share this message, the harder their heart will be. And now he goes on, he says this in verse number 11. So Isaiah has a good question, I think. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long is it going to be that way? Okay, maybe this is in the beginning, things are going to be tough, but then there's going to be that breakthrough moment where all of a sudden we see this glorious revival throughout the nation of Israel. So Lord, how long do I preach, and how long do I give my life committed to sharing and being sent by you, and I see very minimal results? You agree with me this morning, that's a good question, right? Because if God comes along at this time and God says, I want you to do that for 20 years. I didn't mean to pick that number, but I just did. So it fits with us. If he said, I want you to do that for 20 years. And then Isaiah, after 20 years, I'm just going to open the windows of heaven, as it's often said, and I'm going to pour out my glory, and you're going to see a tremendous revival throughout. Isaiah would just be counting down the days of those 20 years go by, wouldn't he? He'd be like, 19 more years ago, 15 more years ago, 2 more years ago. And we just got to be faithful to get through these 20 years. And having that goal says, if God had said, Isaiah, I want you to do it for 50 years. Isaiah might have said, boy, that's a long time, but all I got to do is just be faithful for that 50 years, and now I'm going to see this glorious time that God opened something up. And so here God said, I want you to go, and I want you to preach to the people, and their heart is going to become hardened. And they're not going to receive your message. Isaiah, I'm sending you to call these people, but I want you to understand, they're not going to respond the way that you want them to respond. And Isaiah says, how long is that going to last, God? How long before the glory comes out? And what's God's answer? He looks at, he responds, he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly. Wow. He said, Isaiah, I want you to just keep preaching this message until you're actually going to see the deterioration of your country. Isaiah, I want you to preach this message. And what God is actually speaking about is when the Babylonians come in and destroy this nation and take away its inhabitants. Isaiah is preaching a message, if we will repent, God will restore. And if we will repent and we'll turn to God, then God will defend us against this nation. And he says, I want you to call the nation back to me. But notice, Isaiah, they're not going to listen. Matter of fact, the more they're going to listen in the sense that they're going to see you, hear your words, but they're not going to listen in the sense that they're going to make a change and respond. And Isaiah says, well, how long do I do that? He says, until I bring the judgment upon this nation. Until their houses and their lands are desolate, till it's empty, till the people are carried away to the Babylonian captivity. I want you to carry that message. It went on in verse number 12, it says, and the Lord, and still carrying on, the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. As Isaiah preached this message until there's no one, almost no one left in the land. Until the Babylonians have carried them off, and he doesn't know who's exactly going to do it, but he says, I want you to just keep preaching, just be faithful, just be faithful, just be faithful. Isaiah, my message, my call was, who will go? Who can we send? Isaiah said, send me. But God said, I am going to send you, but I want you to know something. I'm not sending you because you're going to see a great revival. And I'm not going to send you because you're going to see your nation and your country turn back to me. I'm sending you to give them the opportunity to hear my message. Receive or reject. And I know that they'll reject. But God is fair in sending that message. And he said, Isaiah, I don't want you to quit because you don't see results. I don't want you to get discouraged because the people listen, but they don't respond. I don't want you to get discouraged and stop because you don't see a change. And I don't want you to look to 10 years. 20 years, or 30 years, I want you to just keep preaching and just keep sharing. And as you see it all start to deteriorate, just keep going. Here's an interesting fact. The point that God is talking about that's going to happen when all this takes place, Isaiah will never see it with his eyes. You know why? He'll be dead before that. So what's God really saying? Isaiah, preach this for the rest of your life. Be faithful for the remainder of your time on earth. And do not look to be measuring your success. Do not look to try to say, when I get to this point, I'll feel successful. He says, Isaiah, what's going to mark your success? When you stand before me, you have volunteered, you have answered the call, and when you stand before me, what's going to mark your successfulness is not numbers or conversions, it's one thing. What is that one thing? Completing the mission. You complete the mission. Faithfulness. I said, this isn't a ministry. You know, we look today and it's easy for us as Christians to think that we're going to preach and we're going to be faithful. And if we just, and we hear these things along the way, and I understand it. I think we should encourage each other and look for God to do great things. But I want us to understand something. Reading the Bible and understanding the Bible, my Bible and your Bible says that this country, this nation, this world is going to wax worse and worse. That it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better, right? It's going to become more corrupt and more immoral and more defiled and not better. Isn't that what your Bible says? It is what our Bible says, isn't it? And so God's not telling us, I want you to preach until you see results where everything's changed. I don't want you to measure the intensity or your commitment based on what you see happening. He said, you may find years that you go and there are no baptisms of people who have truly been born again, whose lives have been changed. There are going to be times when people make a profession of faith, but they don't get locked into a church and they don't commit themselves. They don't really see their life change. They continue much like they were, but they have made a profession of faith. He says, do not measure yourself by those things. Measure your success by one thing and one thing only, and that is that you are faithful to finish the mission. When Isaiah looks at those things, he said God does help him with something. I did want to share that. God is faithful to encourage us. You might listen to me today and say, that does not sound very encouraging. Well, it does in lots of ways. One, if God said, I want you to have, in order for me to mark you successful, you're going to have so many conversions or so many people's lives changed, that'd be a lot of pressure, wouldn't it? But if he says, I want you to be faithful, that's totally different. I mentioned last week in the very beginning, one of the things that really sealed the deal, one of the things I had no argument for, no way to respond back to, in a negative sense, is when Reed Jefferson held up his Bible and he said, we just want someone to teach us this book, and you can do that. And that was the point in which I knew this could be real simple. They're not calling me to build a church. They're calling me to teach them this book. And that's what we began on. And that's what we live on. Being faithful to that mission, to that call. Because it wasn't that Reed Jefferson gave me that call. It's that through him, God spoke to me. I just want you to teach this book. And you can do it. Because I will help you. And that's why that many of you have said the things that you said earlier today about being able to come here and learn the Word of God. It's because we have been committed to doing something very simple. Teaching the Word of God. And being faithful to teach that book. And we haven't allowed ourselves through the years to just get focused and caught up on conversions and on other things, but simply teaching the Word of God and being faithful to the end. Channel Light Baptist Church, our goal is to finish our mission. We have looked at our past 20 years and we've seen what God's helped us to do. We've watched, we'll see one of the pictures, if you wasn't here last week, but in a little while we'll have one of the photos where we had all those people standing up here. And each one of those people holding a card which represents at least one place where we've gotten the gospel to, where we as a church have helped to send somebody, helped to share, helped to go ourselves and tell the Word of God, to teach it, to preach it, to share with people. And that is something that helps us to see where we've been able to get the gospel to. And for 20 years, we've been faithful. And our goal is not to count conversions. Our goal is this, to be faithful. So what does the next 20 years look like for Shining Light Baptist Church? What does it look like for me? What does it look like for you? It looks like the first 20 years of teaching the Word of God. And being a place where we're faithful to teach the Bible for what it says and helping people to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God. It's 20 more years of taking that same Bible, that same knowledge, into places and ministries in our community and beyond our community, beyond our country, into other parts of the world, which we'll talk about as we get into our missions emphasis month next week, beginning next week. And we'll look at a new plan, a new way that we can start to regroup and refocus, getting our missions out there and seeing that work done. We're committing ourselves to another 20 years of being faithful. What it means for us is that we'll continue to see young men and young women growing up in our church that will know what the Bible says. And we'll see people just like you that's come in with a background of church and a background of things, but yet you come in and say, you know what, I am learning the Bible, I'm learning the Word of God, and now I'm committed to do something with this knowledge that God has given me. And so when we look at what Isaiah says, God gives him some hope, because this sounds very discouraging. Y'all do agree with me about that. I can already tell you do, because I see your faces. That's a joke, y'all. There you go. That's better. Verse number 13. It begins with this word. This is a very important word in the Bible. But. That is a very important word in the Bible. Whenever you see that word, there's always a transition. Here's what it's going to be. I say, at one point in time, I'm going to take all the... I'm just going to desolate this land that you're in. I said, you're preaching and trying to salvage this land. He said, but I'm going to desolate this land. Notice what he says to him. But yet in it shall be a what?
Yeah.
A tent. Now, he's not talking about people bringing their tithes. He's saying a tenth of the nation, a tenth of the people. And really what it represents here is a remnant. You've heard that word before in the Bible, remnant, a small part, a small portion. He says, Isaiah, I want to desolate this place, but I want you to know something. I'm going to leave a small portion of people. I'm going to leave a section, a sector of it that's going to be some people. He says, a tenth of it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak. All right, now, and it says, whose substance is in them. I want to explain that for you today, and all y'all can say amen about that. All right, so what is it? Think about a tree that has died to some degree, or a tree that you have taken and you've cut down, and there's a stump there. What do you see happening around that stump oftentimes? You've cut that tree, what is it? There's a sprout that starts to come up. And that tree may have been huge, and it may have been large, but in comparison, you just see this little person, it's just a little green sprout. If you let that little green sprout continue to grow, you know what it'll do? It'll grow a little more each year until it's bigger and it's bigger until it's a tree again. It's Isaiah. You're not preaching because you're going to see masses converted. You're preaching to spare that remnant that's going to grow again into something great. We know from the Bible, in the end of this world is coming to an end. There's not a revival that will change that. We know in the last days that the church will fall away. We know in the tribulation time that the Christians will be persecuted. We know that slaughter of Christians will take place worldwide. And there'll be a remnant. Just a few faithful people. How will they be a remnant there? Because churches just like ours, Christians just like you and me, are faithful to finish the mission. When God takes us out of this world, the tribulation period comes to this earth, there will be those who will believe. Because churches and Christians finish the this ministry beyond these walls. Your work, your partnership, your participation, your faithfulness. When you show up on a Wednesday night and you're just being faithful, it has a ripple effect that works throughout, and it's reaching far beyond. There's going to come a day and time when churches all across this world will be closed. There will be a day and time in that tribulation where it is illegal and it is unlawful, and where Christians will be hunted and slaughtered. But faithfulness means there's going to be a remnant. And that remnant will grow. If Isaiah only looked, just think of Isaiah. If Isaiah went for 10 years and said, boy, this is too hard. This is too tough. I mean, I'm giving my all. I'm being faithful. I'm being committed. But it just seems like it's harder. It seems like they're not listening. And God could just tap him on the shoulder and say, Isaiah, don't you remember when you surrendered a call that I told you it's going to be like that? And you said, how long? And I said, just do it for the rest of your life. See, if Isaiah would have got to the place, he said, I don't know. I just don't see results. And so I think I'm just going to move on. And I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to do something different. They're not listening anyway. So what difference does it make? What makes a difference? He said, I want you to look beyond these. And I want you to see what's coming in the future. And see, for us as Christians here today, and to be a part of even this church and the bigger universal church of God, you may not see faithfulness all the time. You may look around from time to time and think, you know, the more we preach and the more we do, it seems like people are becoming less and less faithful. You know what? The Bible says that may be the case. And there will be seasons of times when we see more people saved, and there'll be seasons of times when we don't. And he says, I want you to just finish the mission. Just be faithful. Don't measure it by how long. The good days, don't measure it on the bad days. Just look ahead and say, I am a Christian. I will be faithful for the remainder of my days. I am a Christian. I am saved by God. I am in this ministry. I have said, here am I, send me. I'm talking about all of us. You say to yourself, I have said, here am I, send me. God, I will be faithful all of my days. When I do not see the church growing, I will be faithful. When I do not see conversions, I will be faithful. When I see it grow, I will rejoice. When I see it not grow, I will continue to rejoice that we are faithful. Faithful. What is the future of Shiloh Baptist Church? What is your future? Serving God faithfully all your days. I want there to be a goal in your life. A goal that not everyone makes that you could assume that you're going to make. But I want you to really listen today. I want you to have a goal for your own Christian life. I've watched over the years, I haven't told all the stories, but I have watched over the years some people that began with us, some people that were faithful, they didn't finish with. I want your goal to be this. God, I want to finish my days still being part of the church that's serving you. God, I don't want to fade off in my later years. God, maybe a nursing home becomes my place and I can't get out, but I still want to be connected to that church. I still want to be a part of it. I still want to be praying for it. I still want to be supporting. God, I don't want to get to where the last 10 years, 5 years, 3 years of my life, I'm no longer really connected to the church and the mission. I want to finish. I want to serve all the days of my life. Don't take for granted that you do. Many people that have been faithful for all their life, it seems like, sometimes later they begin to fall aside, become unfaithful, they get discouraged. Health reasons begin to make it harder for them to come. And they say, maybe it's just not worth it, but you know it is. You're fighting for a remnant. You're fighting that the church can keep continuing to finish its mission. And the mission of the church, it's every Christian doing their part. And you can do it. You can keep serving. Keep being faithful. Keep giving. Keep praying. Staying connected. When I was growing up, there was something I was learning about that I wasn't aware at the time of how important it was. It was those senior citizens that you saw very seldom in church because their body was so frail and weak. And coming on a Sunday might happen about once a month. It might have taken them most of the week to recover. I knew it was special. I knew people made over it. Looking at it from this point, from this vantage point, I recognized something. That would be the faith. They said, I want to finish my mission. And my mission is connected to the local church. They might be at home on a Sunday. But they weren't doing other stuff. They were praying. When that 11 o'clock hour would come around, they weren't watching TV or sleeping. They were faithful to be praying for what was taking place in the local church in which they was a part of. I watched people, like my mom, who rarely ever missed church, but she was home on Sunday because she couldn't be there because one of us was sick and she had to be with us. And that 11 o'clock hour would roll around. her thought, her mind, her heart, her spirit was with the church. And she prayed. Throughout the years, and many, we have several throughout our church, some that are watching at home right now, and it's a blessing to have that, but we have people that just aren't always able to be here. There's a sickness that's happening. You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, well, when church is going on, I'm dedicating that time. I might stay home today, but I am dedicating my time during that to think about, to pray with, to pray for, to be connected to my church. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to finish my mission. We have a mission. And our mission was not to build a certain size church. It was to carry a message. And to carry that message until our dying days. That's a great mission. No matter where you are in your level of Christianity, your mission is the same. Be faithful until your dying days. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll read our life application once again. Success is not measured by the number of conversions, but by completing the mission. We have a mission. All around this room, I've asked you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I've already told you I want you to have a goal for your life, but that's my desire. What is your goal? You're young. You haven't been saved long. This is a great time for you to realize something. God wants you to be faithful. Get involved. Be a part of this church. Every service is important. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every prayer time, it's important. God saved you. Be faithful. You've been in church for a long time. You've been saved for a long time. You keep hearing the negative things that's going through your mind. We just don't see growth. Seems that Christianity's falling aside. It does not change your mission. Some of you in here today are approaching the days and years that you know you won't be able to be as faithful as you are. You commit today, I'm going to be faithful for all my days. And I'm going to model faithfulness. I'm going to finish this mission. I don't like to ask you to raise your hand or make known to me what you're committing. But I do want to say today, I want you right there where you are to make God, I want to finish this mission. Don't let my age, my health, don't let how long I've been saved be a factor. God, don't let me stop. If we start seeing people saved every week, don't let me stop. If we never see another person baptized. If our government closes the doors of this building, let us be faithful to our mission still. Let us meet together in underground churches. Let us worship and praise and serve. Let us carry the gospel to our neighbors, co-workers, families, and friends. Let's finish our mission. Our Heavenly Father, today we have a mission. Isaiah was told that his mission would not see great results. God, there's going to be people, churches, and seasons. You may allow us to see many people saved in the next coming years. God, you may not let our baptism ever be filled again. You can do anything in between. May we no longer allow ourselves measure our success by anything other than completing our mission. May we do it faithfully, joyfully, in a way that is contagious for others. Thank you, God, for our mission. May we be faithful. I pray for every person today here in this building who will genuinely commit themselves to finishing the mission, to finishing their lives still committed, still faithful to the kingdom of God through a local church. Whether they can physically be in the pew or whether they pray from home, during the times that church is going on throughout the week, may we be thankful. Lord, I thank you for this message today, for what it means to me, what it means to my church family. But I thank you for what it means to the remnant. It looks way beyond in the future, where there are people that will still believe, be faithful, even in a time of the great tribulation. Because there were people that kept the gospel message being shared and spread throughout our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's do something we used to do all the time. All of God's people said,
amen.
Let's do that again. All of God's people said,
amen.
And there's a great blessing in being able to be a part of a mission. I'm going to give you a few announcements today. We are going to have a